This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, March 28, 2024, Maundy Thursday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Knowing that the Father had given him all things, that he came from God and goeth to God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Just read a portion of the Gospel today, and it sounds open-ended because it is. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things, and he came from God and was going to God, Jesus is speaking of his prerogatives as God. He knew who he was, he realized what his entire earthly ministry is about, and he knew what was going to happen to him very, very shortly. Jesus does something this evening. There are two things that he does, but they communicate who he is. In two different ways, he communicates to us through his works, which he did his entire earthly ministry. In his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he cured blind people, he wasn't just returning vision to people who didn't have it. He was demonstrating to us that he has the ability to make us who are blind in faith see. And that's everybody, just not people who cannot visually acquire things. When he cures leprosy, it's not just an ostentatious display of what he can do. It is the demonstration to all of us that he will cleanse us from the leprosy of sin. So all these things are very profound, just like all his parables are profound. They are word pictures of things. And when Jesus washes his disciples' feet, he is meaning something much more profound than just that act in and of itself. We need to understand that the two events that our Lord Jesus Christ presents to his apostles this night, the foot washing and the institution of the Blessed Sacrament, they are integral. You cannot separate the two. Jesus Christ is showing through these actions who he is. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a unique being. He is Theanthropos, the God-man. And within him is the hypostatic union. 100% God, 100% man, not sometimes this, sometimes that, all the time. And when he washes the feet and institutes the sacrament, he is presenting both of those aspects of himself. And just like the hypostatic unit cannot be separated, nor can the Maundy with the institution of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Let's talk about the two things. One more than the other, because one in Western civilization, it kind of falls short for us. The Maundy, the foot washing. A lot of people, that's probably the biggest question I get this time. Maundy, what is that Maundy? It comes from the Latin word mandatum, a commandment. This is how important this is to God when he washes the disciples' feet. This is a commandment that I give to you. Is it a commandment that we wash each other's feet? I mean, literally, no. Just like in what I always say, there, you know, in his cure, in his healings, and in his parables, there is something that we can look at. We don't look at those things in a literal fashion. The Maundy is something that is tremendously profound. For one thing, like I said, the hypostatic union, human and God at the same time. The Maundy, he does not perform that act as the God of the universe. The God of the universe does not wash his creature's feet. He did not perform that as the God of the universe. He performed it as a man. Not just a man, but as a slave. This was the most menial thing that a human being could do. Our Lord performs it in spades. He performs all the tasks associated with this. He doesn't get up and say, hey, I'm going to do something here. Help me get my robes off. No. He takes his own clothes off. He goes and gets a towel and girds it around himself. Doesn't ask for any help in doing that. He fills the basins. Hey, go get me some water because I'm going to do something that I want you to. He doesn't do that. Okay, he does everything for himself. What is the lesson here? The lesson is that we must be prepared to do anything and everything that is necessary in his service. No matter what we may be called to, we have to be prepared. Not necessarily have to do, but if it's necessary, anything and everything for the salvation of souls. This is the lesson our Lord Jesus Christ is presenting here. When he comes down from heaven in the incarnation, he comes down from heaven, he leaves the glories of heaven and the worship that he receives there eternally. He comes down here to this place and he clothes himself with our flesh. He becomes a man. When he removes his garment, I've become a man, but even as a man, I am going to strip myself of even the most proper dignity, because that was not a dignified thing. And it was not a thing when the first century East Asian person came into the house, that the person who washed their feet took their clothes off. Our Lord Jesus Christ is taking this to the extreme. They didn't take their clothes off to wash people's feet, but he did. He's taking the garments, because what is he doing right now? It's a supper, and it's a depressing supper. It's not like a happy party. It's depressing. But even the garments that he's wearing in this supper, he takes off, strips himself of everything. So he keeps emptying himself. So this reality of what he does far exceeds the lesson in and of itself. The foot wash. I'm going to get a little colloquial, and I am not. Father's Holiday said it's wrong to do that. I do not say it's wrong. I am saying that this particular action, that it is, as it is presented in a lot of modernist presentations, let us say, it has degraded. You do not see the profound humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been degraded into an example of modernist political correction. Who did Jesus, look at the picture itself in the lesson, whose feet does he wash? His disciples. His disciples. They were all men. So if the Maundy is done in church, and this is why I don't do it often. I don't do it all that often. We do it sometimes, but I don't do it often. Once every few years. Because the picture is 12 men. You wash their feet. They are his disciples. And as again, it has been hijacked in political correctness several years ago. Big news story. Oh, a Muslim woman had her feet washed. Well, that is completely wrong. That is completely, I would actually say, it's sacrilegious. He took something that our Lord Jesus Christ did and turned it into, she is not a disciple because she's a Muslim and she's not a man. So she does not represent his disciple. What was going on did not represent what our Lord Jesus Christ has communicated to us. It has lost itself. Every year I hear this week, well, yeah, because I get asked these questions about this as this is coming up. And what do I hear? Yeah, in our church that I used to go to, everybody in the whole church came up. And I'm like, for one thing, how long does that take? These people who like to shorten everything, how long does it take? But we got to get our feet washed by the priest. Let's all go down. That's sick. That is nothing that our Lord is trying to communicate here. He is communicating humility. Humility in the most abject sense. This is what he's doing. In Philippians, we heard this weekend that he became obedient to the death of the cross. But one of the things that it says about him is that he took on the form of a servant. Not just the form. He didn't come down here, hey, look at me, don't I look like you all? He did not put on a man suit when he came down here. He became a man, theanthropos. He humbled, he emptied himself. All the prerogatives of God, he laid them aside. And this is what he's demonstrating to us when he does it. You need to do the same thing as far as it is in your capacity, because you're not God and you can't become a man. So I did this. So how little of a thing is it for you to be humble? To not be prideful, to do menial tasks for other people. This is what he's communicating. Humility. This is the commandment. The mandatum. Be humble. Like you said, foot washing, it spoke to these people to whom Jesus, because why? Because that was a common, it was an everyday occurrence. You go into somebody's house, get feet washed, usually by the slave. Okay, that was a really cool thing that they did. In Europe, that's not a thing because in Europe, it's cold and everybody wears shoes. So it doesn't fit. So the message isn't, hey, everybody needs to wash everybody's feet, literally. It's everybody has to humble themselves. This is what's going on here. He does this as a man. I said he did not perform that task as the God of the universe. The second thing he does shows the second side of the hypostatic union. He does do this as the God of the universe, and that's institute the blessed sacrament of the altar. He changes bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity, showing that I'm God and I can change things into what they're not. I can make things divine if I serve it. Because why? Because I am God. So he's shown in the Maundy that he is a man and a slave, and he shows in the Eucharistic institution that he is the God of the universe and he can do whatever he wants here. When he instituted the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, that was a holy sacrifice that had been expected by his people for 4,000 years. 4,000 years, four millennia. They had expected one to come and sacrifice for those who looked forward and had eyes to see and ears to hear. Over 4,000 years they waited for it, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And this is where our Lord institutes this. This is why we view this blessed sacrament of the altar as we do, because there is no greater glory that can be given to Almighty God than the celebration of the sacrifice in which he is the victim. For millennia, they've been killing goats and ox and sheep and turtle doves and all other kind of stuff like that, and bringing baskets of oat and pouring them onto an altar and burning them and all this kind of good stuff. They've been doing that in anticipation of what it foreshadowed. And now it's going to happen. But God is going to be the sacrificial victim. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the sacrificial victim. And there is no greater glory that can be shown to God than to celebrate this over and over and over again. This is why our Lord says, as oft as you do this, you show forth the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul cannot emphasize it more. If it is the most profound act of adoration to God to celebrate the sacred mystery of the altar, conversely, there is no greater offense against him than to deny that God sacrificed his own son for our salvation, or to maybe tacitly think about it and ignore the gravity of the whole thing. A tremendous affront to God, but even a greater offense against God is to participate unworthily in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. This is why our Lord, in the Gospel account, our Lord speaking through St. John the Divine, he interjects this thing about Judas. Like we're hearing about the supper, and all of a sudden we get the interjection, and this is when the devil entered into Judas to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. This interjection of Judas is a demonstration of one who partakes in the table of our Lord Jesus Christ with malice in his heart and planning to do a wicked act, and he still eats at our Lord's table. And what does our Lord say about him? It would be better if that man had not been born. The implications, tremendous. This is the offense of God. Again, another painful thing about our modern days. In the second reading today, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it stops in verse 25. Stops in verse 25. It shouldn't, because the most important thing that St. Paul says in that presentation are the next three verses. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment unto himself. You know that those lines are not to be found anywhere in a modernist lectionary, not in a daytime mass, not in any Sunday mass. They are not there. They have been redacted. They have been taken out. And that is the most important thing that St. Paul says in his discourse. We already know what the institution was like that he says. We have that in the Gospels several times. We don't need that again. But Paul says it again to just put it, hey, you know what? You know when you hear this in Mass? But if you do it unworthily, you eat and drink judgment to yourself. This is the reason he even presents it. Be careful, folks, because there are many of you that are sick and many who have died because you were participated in the Lord's Supper unworthily. It is that tremendously important, and it's left out. Every Holy Thursday and every Corpus Christi, those words were spoken in the church until early in my lifetime. Who cares what the motive is? It's just an objective fact. And we're missing out because it is that important. Because you cannot lose sight of the fact that when you come up here, if you are properly disposed to come up here and receive our Lord Jesus Christ, that divine food, which you are going to take into your being, that divine food, which nourishes us, it was prepared on Calvary. It is not prepared on that altar when I say some words. It is confected, it's changed, but it wasn't prepared there. It was prepared at Calvary because the same flesh and blood that hung on that cross at Calvary is what you participate in, what you take into yourself if you're properly disposed. By his death on the cross, he became our food. He doesn't become our food because I said, this is my body, this is my blood. This is just our Lord Jesus' words in the confection of the sacrament where he does it again. It's him, and it's his cross. So these things are what Christ is communicating, and they cannot be separated. Well, we're going to talk about the foot washing this year, and next we're going to talk about the Eucharist. They can't be talked about separately. That's why the Mass is what it is. We hear some prayers about the foot wash. We hear some prayers about the Eucharist. You cannot separate the two, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, humanity and divinity cannot be separated. But this is all about Jesus. And everything I've said, if you've missed it, there are expectations. No, I would dare say demands that he places on us because of what he has shown us. And those demands are that you also ought to wash one another's feet. As I said, does that mean literally? No, that would be weird. Yes, it would. Yes, very. He doesn't mean that. He means everybody needs to humble yourself. Anything and everything that might have to be done, that's a demand on you. And let a man prove himself before he receives the blessed sacrament of the altar. Those are demands on us. They're not suggestions. And if you don't follow them, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warns us, you just might die. It's like physically die. That's kind of a scary. That's scary. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Doesn't mean you got to be perfect when you come up here. God knows I'd be a sinner for a long time ago. He is giving you strength to increase your sanctity. I'm a hot mess. As long as you've gone to confession, he's fixing it. This is the way we need to look at this. And not to be perfect when you come up here. Just a desire to be perfect. Because our Lord Jesus, as I said before, with the Monday, he continues. It didn't stop when he washed their feet. Even the grammar in the presentation is continuous. He continues to wash the feet of his disciples. In baptism, that's the first time he does it. When we're baptized, we're washed away from any original or actual sins we've committed. He washes us then, just like he washed them for the first time now. Okay, what happened after he washed these guys? One of them betrayed him. Another one denied him. They all ran from him. So there, you need to get washed again. You need to wash it again. That's why. But the first time is our baptism. Then there's a confessional with that ongoing thing where he washes us. And then every time we receive the Eucharist, I mean, it's in our liturgy that our bodies may be cleaned by his body and our souls washed in his most precious blood. Every time he continues to wash. And it's much more than people coming up here and sitting in the seat and me taking all my chasuble and washing their feet. It's so much more profound than that. But everybody's all caught up on that. They think that, you know, again, horrible. Because it does such a disservice to what our Lord has done and what he's teaching us. And it really obfuscates almost completely the expectations, demands that he places on us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.